precedent is that it still goes through the DOJ. They still have to take a look at it. Some of the stuff that Barr actually said in the letter is correct. Yeah, that's a very complex legal question.
You have immunity when you're in elected office. They did in Rome. Congress people have some amount of immunity.
They have a lot. They have a lot.
Yeah, they have a lot. Yeah.
They have a lot. Let's go.
What up, world? Welcome to episode 78.
Yep.
No time like the present.
No time like the present. Today is Wednesday, March 27th, 2019. We got John Anderson and John Kelly in the house tonight. How are you two?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. It's a Wednesday. Hey.
Yeah, baby. Day 21 of Whole 30.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you made it. You made it 3 weeks. That's pretty good.
3 weeks.
Happy hump day, listeners.
Yeah.
Yes.
What does it mean if every day feels like hump day for you?
Then you're always stuck in the middle, or you're getting laid a lot.
Hopefully number two, when I say really good for you, listener.
I guess I should say I wish
that for all of our listeners. I wish that for everyone. I think it would solve a lot of world problems. But that's not what we're here to talk about tonight, is it?
No.
No, not yet.
Cliffhanger.
That's episode 99. Welcome back, everybody, to the Ameripodcast. I'm your host, Blake Mannion. It has been 3 days since we received the Barr report.
Barr letter.
Yeah, Barr letter.
The Barr letter.
Mueller submitted the Mueller his report. Yes.
Yeah. And so we're here to give you a little update on what that means and what's going on, because I know it's awfully confusing right now. So, as you can see, I even confused the title. The Barr letter versus the Mueller report. Those are two different things. Does somebody want to get into why we want to classify those as two different things to start?
Yeah. So what we got on Sunday, on Friday, Mueller said that he finished his report, that he was done with the report. Although, interestingly, the grand jury is still convened. That's a little bit of a tidbit. But so
is that the Intelligence Committee?
No, that's the mechanism by which they are able to authorize, like, search warrants and things like that for an investigation.
Okay. And subpoenas for people.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Different than the Intelligence Committee.
Yeah, it's a mechanism of the court, not of the Congress.
Okay.
So Mueller submitted his report. Then on Sunday we got a summary from the Attorney General, who has read the report. So basically, right, we did not see the report. We saw Attorney General Barr's interpretation of what the report said.
Right. Yeah, it's a very important point to understand that, and I'm sure we'll get into a little bit how we all feel about what Barr said in his letter itself, but there is a very big distinction between having a full report on your desk and a 4-page summary.
And here's why. For example, so,
which wasn't even a summary, really.
Yeah, it was a top level findings, right? But here's an example of why that's important. It's Barr says from the Mueller report that Mueller and his team was not able to establish collusion, paraphrased, but they use the verb establish. There's a wide range of what that means. It could mean there was no collusion, there was some weird, like, contacts, but really they're just dumb and didn't know what they were doing, and nobody did anything really that bad, and, like, this was all nonsense. Or it could be,
like,
this was...
It didn't reach that coordinated.
No, that's the other end of what the possibilities are, is that it was not. So it could be that if this was civil court has a lower standard than does criminal court. And so it could have even gone up to the level of civil court, which is like clear and convincing, I think, as opposed to beyond a reasonable doubt. And so it could say that we found clear and convincing evidence of collusion, but it was not beyond a reasonable doubt. And those are very, very different, especially when you're talking about things like impeachment, which is not a judicial act. It's a congressional act. It's a political act, not a legal act.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's only one of the summarized findings, is dealing with collusion. The other is dealing with obstruction, which is completely different in terms of the what collusion could happen. Yeah.
The collusion aspect of this is probably good news for Trump, right? Like, and that's,
definitely. Oh, and, of 100% it is.
And the much weaker side of this for Trump is obstruction. And I think it's getting swept under the rug. And I think it's really important that we stay focused on that component.
But that, and it's also interesting, while he doesn't care as much about it, because I think that his legal team around him believes that if Mueller didn't specifically establish collusion as a problem within his report, then there can't be any obstruction of justice. But that's not true. There can still be obstruction within the entire thing. And it's also more possible that this could lead to further action by Congress.
Totally. Martha Stewart was convicted of obstructing a crime she didn't commit. That's what happened with Martha Stewart. Like, this is a thing that happens. Obstruction is a crime that is independent of the initial crime or not crime. And that's, like, I've seen that – I read a National Review opinion piece today, and they were like, it makes no logical sense. But you're like, no, the law is, like, coherent, right, in and of itself with obstruction. So you don't have to prove the underlying crime in order to prove obstruction.
Right. And I mean, I think there's a lot of really interesting things that are kind of floating around when you talk about what happened with the Barr letter too. And so not only are those two aspects present, right, when it comes to whether or not there was obstruction of justice, whether or not there was collusion, but we should also talk briefly about why Mueller would make the decision to potentially stop short of any kind of findings, whether or not they're actually there. Is an interesting debate in and of itself, because in no way, I think a lot of people are viewing this as systematic proof that Trump's innocent of anything that was being investigated. And a lot of that has to do with the way that a special counsel is set up to run these investigations and what their power are in terms of indicting people and specifically indicting a president.
Yeah, I think, you know, on the obstruction, so it's coming out that they're probably in the obstruction portion of the report from Mueller. He basically just lays out a pro and cons list. And it's reasonable to expect that he meant that for Congress because and Preet Bharara, who was the Southern District of New York prosecutor before Trump fired him, made this point that hold on, let me find it. I just lost it.
So the Mueller team is not actually they're supposed to just – now I might be mixing this up with the FBI – but aren't they just supposed to basically collect as much information as possible and then hand that over? They're
They also have the power to indict. So there's been like 30 something indictments out of the Mueller investigation.
Mueller's office.
Yeah. However, a lot of those were like Russians. So when you say 30, it sounds like a lot, but it was
a lot of Russian nationals. There were less Americans, but they also hand down information for states to indict people as well. not just on the federal level. Interestingly, and I think we've talked about it multiple times, even when we were discussing the report leading up to this and what might happen with it, is the fact that, you know, Mueller plays by the books. And as a special counsel, that you report to the DOJ, which is part of the executive branch, which the president is the head of, there is, it's legal murky area whether or not you even have a power to indict the president as that person. There's other constitutional mechanisms that are there, namely Congress being able to do impeachment processes that are supposed to take that. And I bet you anything, Robert Mueller was very keen on that aspect of what his role was in the report.
And that was basically what Preet-Bharara said, was that he punted on it because it was too weighty of a decision for one person and it should go to Congress, which I agree with him. It should totally go to Congress. And then he made the metaphor that Mueller punted on the ball and then Barr ran out onto the field, grabbed it, and returned it for a touchdown for Trump, which I think is a pretty good metaphor, because it's going to take weeks or months for this report to come out, and by then a lot of people will have already decided what the Mueller report says, and it likely has a very, like, I think it is likely that everything that in Barr's letter is factually true, however it might greatly mischaracterize the report. Both of those things are possible.
Yeah. I 100% agree. And Barr has sign off on what gets redacted if it's made public before it really gets transferred to Congress. It's going to go through the Trump White House as well in terms of stuff that could get redacted. And you can have a whole bunch of different explanations for why stuff gets left out of the report if it is made public in the end. And so I think what this does is it shows a flaw within kind of the constitutional system that it wasn't written to really protect against. Right. I mean, because the special counsel reports to the DOJ is directed by the presidency, it's part of the executive branch, there's an inherent trust issue that gets passed down between them. When you have other presidents in the past where, of course, they appoint the attorney general, they appoint the head of the DOJ, there is not necessarily the type of mentality that Trump has when it comes to people that are close to him, that he needs to have 100% support for him and loyalty. And so that's where we get into kind of a constitutional problem, where even within that power play between the president himself and the head of the DOJ, there should be some type of disconnect, and it's hard to believe there is any there, the way that Barr came out with that letter a couple days afterwards.
I completely agree. And I think it might even go deeper than the problem is that the accountability mechanism for the executive branch is not supposed to be the executive branch in the Constitution. It's supposed to be the legislative branch, right? Along with some of the, third branch, but mostly it's the first branch, right? It's the Congress. However, the founders didn't anticipate a party system in the formation of the Constitution. And so I think that's the fundamental issue constitutionally we have here, is that we have to figure out some way to institutionalize and then check party power, I think. I think that's the solution. I think that parties are essentially inevitable. We have to accept them as real. We're going to have, we either have to become like a parliamentary system, or we have to figure out some way to deal with the two parties institutionally and then find a check on their power. Because what should be happening right now is there should have been a fuck ton of investigations for 2 years into Trump from Congress, but Congress was unwilling to do it, so we had to find some safety release valve, which ended up being the executive branch, which isn't necessarily that healthy, as we've seen, because the executive branch can sabotage the investigation into the executive branch.
those investigations never happened because of the Republican controlled House.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Remember
the history of it. After Watergate happened, there was actually a law passed by Congress to give them more power over having special kind of reports like Mueller was producing, but they yeah, let it right. lapse because of the way that the special investigators handled both Reagan and then Clinton, and it didn't come back with anything powerful enough for Congress to do. So they let it lapse, and now it's back with the executive branch power.
Yeah,
it's clear that the Mueller special counsel is under the umbrella of the Department of Justice, which is under the president. And so under Department yep. of Justice policy, you can't indict a president. So is it fair to say that?
That's not true. There is no policy written into it. But a man like Barr will no way indict.
No, they have the DOJ has two letters saying that they don't think they can indict a sitting president.
Oh, really? I did not realize that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that is DOJ policy. My bad.
So since that is their policy and Mueller knows this, do you think that he can't technically put in the report? And this is for two reasons. One, because it would lead to an indictment, which you can't do under the same branch of government that you're working. So you just say that there's like no comment. Let's use the obstruction of justice as an example. So instead of providing any evidence that you have in the report to go against your own, to me, it makes sense that that is an internal issue that department needs to figure out. And by Mueller making it public creates more of a public problem with the policy instead of a policy problem just within that department. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand what you're getting at.
So he had to avoid it.
I disagree. And could I disagree for a second? I don't think that because he thinks that he's part of the DOG and he respects that the way that they do business doesn't necessarily mean he can't put in evidence that could potentially be indictable. He just doesn't think that he had the power to do so. And so he was, like John said, punting the ball to other authorities within the government, higher up, and Congress to make other decisions. And let's not forget that there's also parts of the investigation that are technically still open because he said to other parts of the DOJ, you guys should be investigating this and I shouldn't be investigating.
Right. And so that's why that leads me to my second half of this. Right, which is that it's an issue that needs to be resolved within the department, and him knowing that that report will eventually mostly become public domain, we as the public can't fix that department issue, and so he, in a way, to address it, it has been sent out instead of putting it out. Yes, I believe there was an obstruction, and then going against Department of Justice policy. Is it possible that he decided to instead leave it open-ended intentionally? And doing that, he did that by sending it out to the Southern District of New York to investigate this and Virginia to investigate that. And so it was his clever way of keeping it open-ended for the report intentionally so that he didn't create that conflict.
No, I think you're conflating two different things, which is the investigations that were spun off, like the Michael Cohen SDNY investigation, and then the DOJ policy regarding indicting Trump. Those are kind of separate issues. The spinoffs have more to do with the mandate that Mueller was given. Mueller was given looking into collusion and anything relating to collusion. He found that Michael Cohen had some shit, but it wasn't directly related. So he referred it, is what it's called, to the appropriate body. So there's that, right? Then there is, well, if I found some crimes that Trump committed, can or can I not indict him? And I think that, again, we haven't seen the report, so we don't know.
Isn't there another investigation open right now on obstruction? Wasn't an obstruction investigation opened at one point?
No, this is the obstruction investigation.
Right. It's all tied together under the umbrella because Mueller only had one thing that he was investigating, which is Russian interference with the election. Because of that umbrella, he was able to look into these other parts, right, and was able to get indictments at other people, such as money laundering, such as tax evasion. You know, that kind of stuff can come out of that umbrella.
I believe the obstruction chapter opened up after Comey got fired, though.
And
I believe that was...
Which was Mueller.
Right, because, that is exactly. Right, because it's part of the umbrella of what he was initially investigating.
So it doesn't... So he can't...
Yes.
I guess my question is like, can he not send that obstruction piece off to a different investigator or investigation that maybe we don't even...
Well, he did, which was William Barr and Rod Rosenstein. And then they decided that there was an obstruction after 2 days of reading in the report.
No. They exonerated them from collusion.
That's not
entirely.
Extending.
No, they said there was an obstruction either in the letter.
Right, but that's not extending the investigation, though. That's just putting in your report.
No, that's referring it to
is,
the DOJ.
It is because he has no other power outside of turning that report. He can't just say, I'm going to continue this because I think that there's more there. He can't do that.
He referred it to the DOJ. He basically... My understanding is he laid out like a pros and cons list and said, it's up to the DOJ to do with this what you will. And they said, cool, no obstruction.
So at that point, if we didn't have,
and so
if we had a different attorney general, then you're saying that they could have made the investigation go longer or deeper.
Correct.
Yeah. They could have said, I think there's actually real smoke here. Let's continue this investigation. Or they could have said, I agree with Mueller that this is a really complex issue that isn't necessarily my purview in the spirit of the Constitution. Yeah. So I'm going to pass it on to Congress. He could have done any of those things or anywhere in between. Instead, he said... He made a declaration.
Right. Instead, he said, I read this 100-page report in 2 hours, and here's a 4-page.
Isn't that the precedent? Actually, handing it off to Congress.
Which precedent? From
after
where?
A report like this is done.
No. The precedent is that it still goes through the DOJ. They still have to take a look at it. Some of the stuff that Barr actually said in the letter is correct. That he still has to protect parts of the grand jury information that's present within the port before he can hand it over to Congress and they can decide whether or not to make it public. There are actual legal things that he does have to redact before he can bring it to Congress.
There's also another big part of this, which is the counterintelligence investigation. The counterintelligence investigation is not a legal investigation. They're two different investigations. A lot of times a counterintelligence investigation will be opened up and closed, and the subject of that investigation and everybody outside of the department will never know about it. And so there was some reporting that Barr, the DOJ anyway, is going to brief the Gang of Eight, which is the minority and majority leaders from the House and Senate, and then the chairman and ranking member of the intelligence committees.
Which is standard. That's a very standard thing for the DOJ.
That's a completely standard thing to do. And they're going to brief them on the counterintelligence things. And there's a lot there still that we need to understand. So I suspect that Adam Schiff, who is the House member for the intelligence committee, the chairman, he will be very interested in opening up an investigation into this so that the American people can decide. Because that's ultimately the entire point of all of this was not to see Donald Trump in handcuffs. It was to get information to the American people so they can make informed decisions about their leaders.
100%.
And the problem.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, if the report if I was Trump and the report was really good for me, I would fucking go to Kinko's and make the flyers myself.
I'd walk down Pennsylvania
Avenue.
Like,
I would
Avenue,
be plastering
just,
it
just
everywhere.
Throwing them to people.
Dude, exactly. Just like it's a fucking high school, like, boom, down the stairs. Like, I would be throwing that shit everywhere. And so if this is that good, let's see it. If it's not, we need to know so that we can make the most informed decision for 2020.
And it's important to point out here, because this is so, I think, technically complicated from a politics side and from the way that the kind of constitutional mechanisms work within it, it's a reason why it was so important that the Democrats took back the House.
Holy last fall. Shit.
Because if there was Republicans still controlling all of the House committees, it wouldn't be a problem at all. They'd all the Republicans would vote and say, yeah, makes no difference. We're not opening anything into this.
All we would have gotten was this letter. Maybe not even that.
Maybe not even that. Yep.
Yeah. What about the, if there was a sealed indictment, right? Say for the president himself, right? Which they've talked about. Would that be completely removed from the report? Would perhaps Barr not even know about it?
I have no idea. That's a complex legal question.
Right.
That's
a very complex legal question. Yeah. I would assume that if and I make this just off of my knowledge of the way that kind of some legal structures work, if there was some kind of secret indictment, it probably would have to do with Barr himself, and that's the reason that Mueller wouldn't be able to submit it to him. If that was some kind of indictment that Barr could not know about legally because it somehow pushes him into the entire story, that's the only way he could make it secret in his report to him.
I think this is really important. There's going to be no indictment. There's going to be no like Mueller fairy. There's going to be no silver bullet that gets rid of Trump. There's the only thing, the thing that we have to do is, and this has always been the thing that we needed to do, was go out and say the Republicans want to take away your health care. That is what is important here. It's not collusion with the Russians. Americans don't give a shit about that unless you're like a Tom Clancy novel reader or an MSNBC watcher. And so it doesn't matter to most people. What matters is their health care. What matters is their bottom line. What matters is, can they pay for their kids' college? And so as people who care about getting this president out, we should drop the, like, he should be indicted for collusion, even if it's true. And we should focus on things that matter more to the American people, like their health care.
I agree, John, and it's something that, you know, we've talked about many times on this show over the last couple of years, is that, you know, there was always a chance that the Mueller report was going to be that kind of silver bullet to do it, but logically it probably wasn't going to be, given all the mechanisms that he had to go through to conduct the investigation itself and what would happen once he eventually turned it in. So anybody who kind of knows the legal process that's been thinking about this knows there's pretty complex stuff that has to happen once it's turned in. But I agree that the way to get Trump out of the White House is to vote him out basically at this point in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the best way to do that is for Democrats to focus on legitimate policies that help the most people in the United States. And that's absolutely healthcare and economic policies. So, yeah,
I think you're right. I think that our time would definitely be better spent focusing on what we need and then also the tactics required to spread that information. For example, I think that if we do want to win the White House back in 2020, or at least get Trump removed, I might even be okay with the Republican.
You were saying Arnold before today. You were like, even Schwarzenegger.
My only biggest concern, and whether or not Trump is removed, we need to regain our power back, I guess, over how we communicate to people and how we spread information. Because I feel like the system's 100%. Really fucked up right now.
And a great example is healthcare. Mm-hmm. Don't let the Republicans tell you while they're trying to gut the ACA and call it unconstitutional that they're the party of healthcare. Just don't let them do it.
That's some 1984 shit.
Yeah, it's exactly what that
is. With like that's what you do with your paper pamphlets when you stand out in the street, you know, handing them out to everybody you see trying to spread your propaganda. But the issue is real right now, and people don't know what's real and what isn't, and where to get their information from. And I think that if we want to see, if you want to see Trump get out of office, the best way to do it is through the issues and through how we communicate, and then voting him out. But I could really care less if he was indicted at this point, because I agree, I don't think it's going to happen. And I think that this is actually not over for Trump and the Trump family. I think that there's probably a whole lot of other shit going on that they're going to get caught up with, including, you know, the whole crime ring RICO, you know, whispers that started up a few months ago.
Right. Yeah. I'm not going to jump into necessarily some potential conspiracy theory stuff, but I do think that there's obviously some legal ramifications that need to happen for some of his business stuff. And the Southern District of New York, I think, will probably nab the family.
Yeah. And it's being taken care of, right? Like, it's in process. So let's
I don't know what that means, but yeah. All right.
like the Southern District is working on it. All right. The Southern District of New York is working on it. So let's let them do their thing and then move on to something else.
Can I offer a perverse bright spot to all of this?
Yes.
Yeah. Cause I definitely lack some bright spots in my life right now.
Here, let me, maybe this would be a good place to close. One of my chief fears, and you saw this happen in the Roman Republic, this is one of the things from my like moderate level of knowledge of the history of this.
How much Rome Total War did you play? Like,
oh,
hours,
dude. Okay.
Right? Like hours. All right. We don't keep going. Keep going.
Bet I got in four digits of hours, but that's okay. No, it wasn't Rome. It was Empire, actually, because they had guns in America. So, and cannons. Anyways, so you have immunity when you're in elected office. They did in Rome. Congress people have some amount of immunity. The president,
they have a lot. They have a lot in this
country. Yeah, they have a lot. Yeah.
They have a lot in this country.
The president, by his own DOJ, cannot be indicted for their policy, whatever, right? That means that the incentive for Donald Trump to stay in office forever is super duper important, because the moment he leaves office is the moment he gets taken away in handcuffs. And so
if he was indicted
and whatever, like that's his worst case scenario. Right. And if I was him, I would worry about my worst case scenario. And so this makes that less likely, which I think is good for American democracy, because a peaceful transition of power is
the most important part of democracy.
The most important thing. Like, I didn't want to be too hyperbolic, but like, it feels like the most important thing to me. And
I mean, we could debate which parts of democracy we thought were the most important, but
that's really.
Yeah, if you look at it around the world, that's how we measure it around the world, is peaceful transitions of power.
And so I think that I know a lot of Democrats are disappointed in this, but I think that it makes that worst case scenario for the country a little bit less likely. And that's a really good thing, because the number one priority is we have to get past Trump. And the reason we have to get past Trump is because there's a lot of fundamental problems in this country. Trump started basically none of them, but he walked along and was like, hey, nice country there. Shame if something were to happen to it, and then poured a fucking bottle of gasoline on the fire.
That's a nice metaphor. I probably would have made it a little differently, but yes.
So we need to get past him, because we're never going to solve any of these problems until we do. Republicans and Democrats should be up for this together, because there's no compromise possible when we have Trump. So let's get him out of office, no matter what we have to do to get him out of office. And then we can all move on as a country and begin to heal and solve really important problems.
I 100% agree. The divisiveness that is currently at the head of our political body is poisonous for for everything that comes below it, any type of civil discourse, any type of debate on the national level. And part of that really has to do with what we were talking about earlier in terms of the two-party system and how problematic it can be in terms of power struggles on the national level. But Trump, you know, you got to recognize that Trump was a lifelong Democrat. He was a Republican when it mattered and when it was the best for him. And he won the presidency off of very vitriolic and harmful language to a united country. And I agree 100% that it should be imperative to get him out of office just to cut that off. The problem is I see, you know, is it's almost like opening a can of worms. There's so much now that has been brought to the surface and so many problems that it's going to take a lot to bring Democrats and Republicans together to solve a lot of things on the national stage, even with Trump gone.
And it'll get worse as Trump is president, which means he has to leave as soon as possible. This has only been 2 years of Trump. Imagine 6 years or 8 years of Trump, six more years of Trump. And this will have compounding issues. This will not be a linear process. The issues will compound on each other and it will get worse exponentially and not linearly.
I agree. And I will say just, you know, one more thing, because I know we're trying to wrap up here soon in a minute or two, but I think the most disappointing thing for myself, seeing the way that the Mueller report came out and the Barr letter has responded. And we'll see what ends up happening over the next couple of weeks and what happens with congressional investigations that'll undoubtedly come up, is that what this does is give the president unprecedented power, in my opinion, to question witnesses on Twitter, to talk about private security dealing, national security stuff, on a level that, while it's nice to see some stuff come out on a national level where people understand what's happening, there's also security issues that need to be addressed here. And there needs to be a rein back in of presidential power in terms of the way that someone can act in office to restore the office to the lofty heights it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I agree. And my last comment will be that I guess just simply that I think there's a lot still going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And the way that I see this whole report is it was for the American people regarding our elections. And there's other stuff going on in the government, always has been, always will be. And that includes investigations, in criminal investigations and intelligence investigations that we just won't know about. And that just, you know, because we don't know about them or hear about them doesn't mean that justice isn't being served and there aren't issues being fixed. So I think that this was just something for the American people. I think maybe we can find some closure there.
You bring up a very good point, which is something I'm sure we will get back into over the rest of this year, which is what type of impact it might have on the upcoming election when it comes to security and voting rights, etc. But, you know, that's something to discuss a little bit more when we get, I think, a little down the road.
And to put a little punctuation on this, Republicans want to take away your health care, so you should vote in 2020.
Yeah, and tell everybody you know.
Don't believe them. They're not the party of health care. They're not.
Yeah. If they don't believe you, send them to this podcast, and we'll inform them.
And a good way for your people to find us is if you rate us and review us. So if you would do that, please, that would be wonderful. We will send you flowers.
Right. Yes.
Or chocolates. Or whatever you like. Potato chips.
Or
you
maybe
know, whatever.
We'll give you a shout out on the pod.
Oh, we'll definitely give you a shout out on the pod because the volume's not high enough for us to be overwhelmed.
That's the least expensive option. All right, world. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Till next time.
Godspeed, everybody.
Well, should we start?
Yeah, let's start.
Might as well. Let's do it. No time like right now.
No time like...
I like the spin on the ball on that one.
No time like right now.
Ooh, right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Now. Right now?
Right.
It's some timey-wimey shit.
Time's a construct. We could say whatever time it is anyway.
It's a flat circle. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Totally.